the time was come. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? Adoption of sons. And because you are sons, everyone say, I'm a child of God. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, or Daddy, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want to read one more passage of Scripture. When I knew I was going to be speaking at this service a few weeks ago, this one just couldn't get away from it. Romans 8, verse 12. And again, this is the writing of the Apostle Paul, and he's the only one in all of the Scripture that actually uses this term, adoption. He's the only guy in Scripture. Here's what he says, Romans 8 and 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will what? You'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, then you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And here it is. This is so amazing. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. How many would be honest and say somewhere in your past you've had to deal and battle with fear because of something that happened to you? Anybody in this place? Fear. But when you're a child of God, you haven't just received more of the same that we get from everything else in life. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, and there it is again, Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we're children, then we are heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And Paul says this, for I reckon, I consider, that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Adoption is the giving to anyone the name and the place and the privileges of a child who is not a child by physical birth. That's adoption. There are three different kinds of adoption that are mentioned in the Bible. One is what we are seeing here in Rick and Laura's life, and we're so proud of them and so pleased for them. It's natural adoption. But I've got to tell you that in the Jewish law, under Jewish law, there was no provision for this wonderful event that we're witnessing tonight in the lives of our friends. There's no provision in the Old Testament Jewish law. There are examples of adoption. Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, but that was in Egypt. Esther was adopted by Mordecai, but that was in Persia. There was no adoption per se in Old Testament Jewish law. And in the New Testament, only the Apostle Paul refers to adoption, and he doesn't do it because of his Jewish religious connection. He does it because he was born a Roman citizen. So he refers to their practices. So that's one kind of adoption. And then there's a second kind mentioned in Scripture, and it's basically national adoption, that God Himself, He adopted the nation of Israel. And He said, I'm going to take you as my child. Here's the Scripture, guys. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee. Everyone say chosen. He's chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And then thirdly, there's spiritual adoption. And this is the ultimate and this is the most important kind of adoption that's mentioned in Scripture. Spiritual adoption is this. It is an act of God's grace by which He brings us into His redeemed family and He makes us partakers of all the blessings that He pours out. Is there anybody here that's so glad you're adopted into God's family? Now, we say spiritual adoption because we are made sons of God and heirs of God, children of God, not because we were born that way, but because literally we are adopted into God's family. See, Jesus Christ He's different than you. We call Him the Son of God and we call ourselves sons of God. And that's all right because Scripture does that. But there's a very important difference. The Bible tells us in John 3:16 that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. There's no one else like that. You see, He was the Son of God by nature when He was born in Bethlehem. When God took on a body of flesh, He was the only, the unique, the one and only begotten Son of God. I'm not a begotten Son of God. I am adopted into His family and changed into His likeness and brought into His goodness all through the work that Jesus Christ did. And so, obviously, that's the most important kind of adoption in Scripture. In the Greek and Roman cultures of New Testament times, and that's where Paul takes his reference from, the idea of adoption conveyed even more wonderful things than what it does today. It literally was this. In that day, to become a son or daughter by adoption meant that literally you were indistinguishable in every way under the law from being a son or daughter by birth. And there were all kinds of far-ranging implications. And Paul uses a common legal term for adoption in all of his writings. He's the only guy that mentions it. He talks about adoption in Romans and in Galatians and in Ephesians, but he's the only one. And of course, he's going to emphasize the spiritual application of adoption. See, half the people, one in two people at the time that Paul wrote Romans, one in two people were slaves to the other half of the population. Slavery was an unbelievable curse on the world of Paul's day. And we see the church dealing with that and grappling with that. And they have to do, they have to live in the society in which they're birthed. And so there's all these different customs and all this different culture that has to do with adoption. And Paul refers to it. And basically there's two kinds. One is when a slave, someone who was born a slave, someone chose to adopt them and bring them into their family, just as if they were born a son by natural birth. That was one kind of adoption. Very, very beautiful. Paul talks about that. But the other kind of adoption, there's actually an old Latin term, patria potestas. And it literally refers to the authority of the father because if you remember back in Bible times, women and children were reduced in rank. It wasn't equal like it is today. And in fact, society still in some ways struggles with the equality of the sexes because in ancient times, the father of a family, he ruled totally, absolutely. What he said was law. What he did, that was it. There was no recourse. He controlled every member of the family, the wife, the children, the grandchildren. It's still that way in some Eastern cultures today. And so when Paul talks about adoption, there's another kind that doesn't involve slaves. It involves somebody actually transferring from one family to another. Now, today we could do that. We could do an adoption and we'd fill up some papers and wait for the proper terms and all of that kind of business. But in that day, it was really something because the father had absolute control and he controlled every child in that family. But if an adoption was wanted, if an adoption was desired, it became quite an ordeal. The person being adopted, literally in Roman culture, they would be sold by their father and they would be purchased by the father of another family. And then the first father would buy them back. And then they would be sold the second time into another family. There would be money exchanged, treasures exchanged. And then the first father, he would buy them back. And then the third and final time, they would be sold. And their new father would purchase them. He would pay a price, a huge price in many cases for them. And the third and final time, their original father, their original family would not buy them back. And the reason they went through that whole ordeal three times was to emphasize the point that the connection with the old life, the connection with the old family, was severed and broken. And they emphasized it through their customs, even through the exchange of finance. It was literally, folks, a brand new life. Now, where Paul is going is not just a natural adoption procedure. Where Paul is going is our spiritual adoption. You see, he gets the metaphors all mixed up. I got reading Romans 8 and I thought, where in the world is he going? I got reading Galatians and I thought, he's got this all mixed up. Because he starts out talking about we were slaves, and then he starts talking about we were children of something else, and then we were, and he's got the adoption of a slave and the adoption of a child from another family. He's got them all intertwined. He's got them all meshed together. And the reason he does that is because he's trying to illustrate that when you were a sinner, you were both a child of the devil. Now, we don't like that, but that's what Jesus said. You're of your father, the devil. That's what he said about people that don't serve him. So we were, yes, we were a child of the devil, but also we were slaves to sin. And Paul takes both of those images and he takes them and he just meshes them together. And he said, when you were in that old life, you were number one, a child of the evil one. And number two, you were a slave to him. But then you got transferred from his family and you got adopted into God's family. And when you did, God paid such a great price for you that it literally severed the ties to your old life, to your past, to your old family. It severed those ties forever. And you now have the spirit of adoption in your life. And if you're a child of God, the reason you can raise your hands in a building like this and start to speak a few words of worship with your mouth and the presence of God comes in like a magnet, the reason you can do that is the spirit of adoption's in your heart and it cries out constantly to God, Abba, Father. There's a relationship there that wasn't there before. How many of you have in your family tree somewhere, we won't even ask, but you have some relatives that are unique? If they're here, do not indicate this at this moment. Every family has some skeletons in the closet, some monkeys hanging off the vine, some nuts in the family tree, whatever. When you transferred, when you translated, when you got adopted out of the family of the evil one into God's family, you got a whole new set of relatives. You can choose your friends, but you're stuck with family. If you're a child of God, you're stuck with all of us because we're children of God too. And we may be a little different and you might not like all our ways, but hey, we're kinfolks, so you can't do anything about it. But you literally, when you became a child of God, that old life is history. And that's why Paul says in Romans, he said, we are not debtors to the flesh. You don't have to go around and please your flesh. You don't have to go around and do whatever your flesh dictates. You don't have to be ensnared by addictions anymore. You don't have to be ensnared by secret sins anymore. You don't have to be ensnared anymore by habits. You've been adopted into a new family. And when you got adopted into God's family, he just said, I'm buying you out of that old life. I'm bringing you into my family. You're my child now. But I'm going to do more than just legally adopt you. I'm going to change your nature from the inside out, and I'm going to put the spirit of adoption in your heart, and so you don't have to act like that anymore. You've got brand new relatives, you've got a brand new life, you've got a brand new history, you've got a brand new hope, you've got a brand new future, so you can forget that old life and you can rejoice in your new life. And so no wonder Paul, he gets so excited, he just starts meshing all the images together. We were once slaves, but now we're adopted. We were children of a different family, but now we're adopted. And he just ends it all by saying, we have the spirit of adoption in our heart. That's a valuable thing to have. And so because you've got that spirit, God cries out within you. It's all together. God's spirit's in you and your spirit's in there. And your heart just cries out, Abba, Father. It's amazing. If you're free from your old life, folks, you need to act like you're free. You need to make choices that glorify your Father in heaven. You need to make choices and act in ways that bring Him praise and glory. Because if you are free, you need to live like you're free. A lot of people don't live like they're free. Here's what adoption in the Scripture involves. It involves three things. Number one, it delivers us from our past. Number two, it gives us status in our present. In other words, it's not a self-important status, but it is status before God that I am a child of the living God right now. Right now, I am a child of God. I don't have to wait till the rapture to find out if I'm saved. I'm already saved. I don't have to wait till the Lord returns back to earth and takes His church. And you know, I just got to wait and just kind of tremble inside. Every time somebody preaches about the rapture, every time somebody preaches about the coming of the Lord, every time somebody says something about heaven or hell or eternity, I have to just tremble inside. I've already got salvation in me. I am right now a child of God, and I'm just as much guaranteed that I'm going to be in heaven if I'm in Christ as when I get there. I'm already there as far as He's concerned, because He's done that work in me. I've already got the spirit of adoption. So adoption gives us deliverance from our past, and it gives us status in our present. We are children of God. But the best thing adoption gives us, I think, is hope for the future. It's amazing what God does. Laura, if I could borrow that little guy one more time. I can even take the bottle. Now, Laura tells me he likes to share his food with other people. So I might even take that cloth. Come on, buddy. Come on with Pastor. Let's see if we can get this in here. I wish I had that for some adults. Sure. If I had it for adults, I'd use crazy glue. Right around the lips. You bud? How are you, Jackson? Pastor, try not to knock us both over. You know what, buddy? I don't know anything about your past life. I know that you had a mom who loved you enough that she thought when she couldn't provide for you, that she released you to be part of another family. I know that. I don't know much. Help me out. We're coming down to close. You going to help me do altar call? Here's what I know about your future, buddy. You're being adopted into a really great family. Excited about that? You're going to take on a brand new name. You're going to be along. I can't even begin to tell you what that means. I know about your dad. Your dad's sometimes a little crazy. So I know that when you grow up, you're going to have a great sense of humor. And you're going to love to play practical jokes. But I'm sorry to tell you that everybody's going to see those jokes coming 10 miles away. I know something else. You're going to have your mom's. She's like the closest thing we've got to an artist around here. She loves color. You're going to have a pretty sharp room. It's going to be awesome. And probably that's going to affect you when you grow up. You're going to have the spirit of your mom and dad. You can't help it when you're around them. That's an awesome thing. Let's try this plug again. See if it will work. See, when you're adopted into a family, Jackson, you take on the spirit of that family, and you take on the name of that family, and you take on the inheritance of that family. You've got more than one generation of people in your family now that love the Lord and serve Him and worship Him. See, in Bible times, adoption was a private ceremony first, and then maybe a period of time later, it was a public announcement. And that's what Paul was referring to if you look at two more scriptures as they come back to the music. Romans chapter 8, down in the chapter a little bit. Verse 22, Paul said, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for" what? The adoption. "To wit, the redemption of our body." Paul said, adoption is a present reality, but it's also a future hope. Right now, our adoption is
a private affair kind of between us and God and the world. They don't understand this. But there is coming a day when the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And on that day, the entire world will know that the church is who God said it was. Here's another scripture. I want to close with this one. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. They don't understand. Why? Because they didn't know Him. Beloved, now. Everyone say now. Right now, you're a child of God. And it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. Just the same as we can't look into the future, this little guy, and know all of his interests. We won't know everything that he's going to be involved in the future, his career, or what he'll take to, like a duck takes the water. We don't know that yet. But we do know this. Jackson, because you've been adopted, you're going to hear about the Holy Ghost. You're going to hear about Jesus. You're going to hear about the Bible. Buddy, you got it made. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know. Everyone say, we know. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Just like this little guy is going to grow up, and you're going to see these two people in him. When Jesus appears, we shall be like Him. For then we shall see Him as He is. We have been adopted. We are adopted. And we shall be adopted. Weary saint of God who gets a little tired of the struggle from time to time, you remember something. That there's an adoption of the body coming. When we are going to be reunited with loved ones that have gone on before us. And we're going to be in heaven forever. That's the ultimate adoption. Everybody, thank you for helping Pastor tonight. That's the best kid you've ever seen. Now, you can go spit up on Mom, okay? Because I'm finished with you just for now. I'll see you after church. And would you bow your head in the presence of the Lord? Close your eyes. Really appreciate Rick and Laura just allowing us to talk about this special occasion in their life. But God would be really pleased if we didn't just celebrate the adoption of a handsome little boy into a wonderful family. But if tonight we could celebrate the adoption of somebody else into His heavenly family, God would think this was a pretty great service. God would think it was a great service if somebody would finally realize that, you know what, God's invested a lot in me. He paid a great price for me. And I've been hanging around church, but I've been acting a whole lot more like my old history, my old life, than I have my new life. And I need to just start acting like I'm an adopted child of God. I've been straying, and I need to get that together. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. That's worth everything else that you're investing your time and your energy and your attention in, just to be a child of God. Lord Jesus, thank you, God. Very unique service tonight. Not a whole lot of a sermon, I guess. But God, I feel you tugging at our hearts in this place. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can be your children. So thankful that we can be part of your family. And God, I'm praying for somebody that's in this place that's really just kind of been doing something else with their life. That they turn it around and get right with you and straighten out
this whole relationship between them and you. God, I'm praying for that young man that's standing here right now. And he bears a whole lot more resemblance to his friends in the world than he does to your son. Praying for that young lady who's looking for something to make her feel like she's valuable and loved. And she's looked everywhere but to you. And so it's just empty. Lord God, you said that you came that we might have life and that more abundantly. I'm praying somebody here tonight would have the courage to take that step and make that decision. Because the adoption that you offer is the only one in the whole world where the child makes the choice. That's us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. One more time, in this sacred, holy, reverent atmosphere, would you lift up your hands and just lift up your voice. And one more time, just start to give praise to God. I don't know what you're going to choose to do, but I know what God would like to choose to do. He'd like to get in your heart and change you from the inside out. He'd like to get in your life and erase the past and bring you into a brand new relationship with Him. He'd like to help you stop dabbling out there looking for fulfillment and fun. And He'd like you to give yourself to His cause and His kingdom and His church. You won't believe what a change that'll make in your life. I need the people of God. Just lift up your voice in the presence of God. If you can't think of anything, say, God, thank you for putting your Spirit in my heart.